I'm nearly crying already. We're off to a good start. So good morning. I know most of you, but my name is Alyssa, and I'm really excited this morning that I get to share with you my journey from 2017. So what happened? In 2016, I finished my teaching degree, and afterwards I was talking to Pastor Chris, and he asked me what my five-year plan was. And I looked at him and went, don't do that. Don't ask me that question. I don't know. And the only response I had to give to him was that I want to be in Temperance Town in South Africa. And I couldn't explain it. I didn't probably really understand what it was that I was saying, but that's where my heart was. So a few prayers and a few conversations later, you guys agreed to send me, which was really exciting and generous. So I just want to say a huge thank you. I think pretty much every opportunity I have, I want to say thank you, because words don't quite do it justice. My gratitude and my appreciation to each and every one of you for the part that you've played in this journey. So prayer or financial support, your encouragements, and your friendship, because it was a difficult journey, but knowing that you guys are all with me sort of gave me the oomph to keep going. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you on the main ministries that I was involved with. So youth, worship, and then also at the aftercare. Before I left, God sort of gave me the picture of what it was I was going to do. I wasn't going simply to be a part of something, because after 10 months, if I wasn't coming back, I would leave a hole. So the task and the challenge that God gave me was to go and to build, to go and impart everything I have, everything I learned, everything I know, so that when I leave, they're better off than where we started. And it wasn't me, but it was just being a vessel that God would use. So, and that came from Hebrews 3. God was the master builder, and that was my heart. I wanted to go and be like that. So the youth. Just before I left, I was in contact with a previous youth leader. His name was Brandon, and we're just talking about 2017, what it would look like, and how we would work together. By the time I even got off the plane, Brandon was gone. He felt that God was calling him on to another ministry I think he was in Joburg somewhere. So that left me with the youth group, and I didn't like this idea very much. So I began to sort of frantically search for a plan or a program, a DVD series, anything that would help me construct a youth program and make it look like I knew what I was doing. I did not know what I was doing. And so I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm getting so mad. And I'm like, God, why can't you just give me what I want? That one goes down well, doesn't it? God said to me, he's like, stop being silly. Just seek me and I will give you the direction. I will give you everything that you need. So promptly, I apologized for acting like a child. And I began to really seek him in a different way to how I was seeking a program. The word God gave me was John 14:6, and that became the foundation of our youth program. So Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this became our foundation. We started looking at who is God, what does it mean that God is the Trinity? Who are these three players? How do they fit? What does it mean to be saved? So we started to look at that scripture where it says, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We began to discuss that just because my parents are saved doesn't mean I am. We began to think about, you know, just because Omar took me to Sunday school when I was 5, doesn't actually mean anything, because we have to come to that place where we decide for ourselves if following Jesus is what we want to do. So I think that was a bit of an eye-awakening, because the religious spirit is quite strong, where they think if I go to church, then I'm all good, which we know is definitely not the case. So these are the discussions that were coming out of our youth program, and it was so cool watching them grow and seeing how when they have a revelation and they just sort of get it. So all glory to God. I would like to introduce you to our youth team with video number 1, please.
Church Gordons Bay Youth Group. I asked them to say a few words on what they learnt or experienced during youth last year.
And youth, I learned that fellowship is good.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nikki, and I am in One Church Youth, and what I've learned last year in youth is how to get closer to God and learn more about how to, about His Word, how to get other people like my friends and their friends and other people closer to Jesus.
Hi, my name is Chad. I actually joined youth like just twice. So yeah, it's a new experience. I'm learning about God, but yeah.
Youth for a year. I've experienced God well, and now I'm in the worship team with the drum.
This is Edu. At the beginning of last year, he was coming to youth simply because Nikki was coming. He would say that he's not ready to give his heart to Jesus, but still continued to come and learn more. It was amazing watching his journey. By the end of the year, he was starting to actively seek God and ask questions. We had a night where we asked the Holy Spirit to show us a picture and speak to us in a new way. Edu was so in awe of the picture and the word that God had given him about freedom. How cool is that? From not wanting a relationship with God to then being willing and open to the Holy Spirit and receiving such a cool picture and word that was relevant to where he was at.
I also thank God for giving us as One Church, Gordon's Bay, a chance to have youth, because in everywhere else in the world there is so much youth that don't have such that privilege.
Hi, I'm Siobhan, and I've been joining One Church Youth here in Gordon's Bay, and what I've learned through the year is how God's Spirit moves and the power He has in His name and who God really is and that He cares and all that.
That's the core group of our team. We sort of had some weeks where we had more, some weeks where we had less. But that was our core team. And it's so cool to see how they've grown in their confidence just as who they are, as they've started to learn who God is and how God sees them, how they've developed in themselves. So I'm looking forward to 2018. Same strategy, just seeking God and doing whatever He tells me to do. So the worship team. It basically ended how the youth year started. In August, the previous worship leader, he resigned, as he also felt God was calling him on to another ministry. This left three of us. So Siobhan, one of our youth girls who plays piano and sings. Memory, who sings like with this like soulful deep voice and can play the drums. And then me, I can sing and I can pray. So what we did is the first week together, we released Mark. We just said, okay, God, take him. God, use him in this next season. And we started to pray. We just wanted so desperately for God to move. We wanted so desperately not for this to be our team and our effort and our worship. We wanted it to be God's team, God's effort, and worship in the Holy Spirit ministering through us, to us, and to the congregation. As the weeks went on, we had more youth come and join the team. I think like after 4 weeks, our team had already doubled in size, and who had come along was members of the community. So I think three or four members from Temperance Town had come and become part of our youth. And what was amazing was God used those first few weeks when it was just the three of us to create an atmosphere, sort of set the standard, set the expectation, if you will, and we really seeked to be John 4:24 worshippers. Worshippers who will worship in the Father, in spirit and in truth. So that was our desire. And so when these youth came along, that was the atmosphere that they were ushered into. They had no choice because we, through prayer and through worship, had allowed God to set the new standard for us as a worship team. I would say that the story of our worship team is a story of revival, if I have ever heard one. We were dead. We were dry. And God came and He breathed. God came and He moved afresh in us. And it was just so amazing, the refreshing that came and the restoration that came through just being there and worshiping God and making ourselves available. So what was not very led by the Holy Spirit became completely led by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing that we wanted. And so we just were so in awe of what God would do. As soon as we say, yes, God, we're willing. Yes, God, come and take the reins. We want what you want. So already we've seen a softening of hearts in the congregation as far as worship, and just a new freedom in worship that we hadn't seen before. So I'd also like to introduce you to our worship team.
God has brought along some awesome people to join us for this season. We've got some mature, long-time Christ followers, and then some of the youth that we get to love and minister to. My goal for 2017 was to not only be part of the worship team, but to impart to them everything that I have received. God put Memory and Leanne on my heart to train up and encourage to be worship leaders, and I asked them to share a bit of their journey and what they experienced in 2017.
Nice. My name is Memory, and I really want to thank God to be in the worship team. It has changed everything in my life, not just in the music area, but even how I'm living in my own house, how God is using me in every area of my life. And I can see even a worship group growing because of now how we have learned how even to pray in tongues and singing in tongues. That's the most amazing part that I really like. And I really thank God for the grace that he has given us, Elisa, to teach us and to bless us with all the knowledge that she has. May God continue to bless you.
Hi all, I'm Leanne. A year ago, I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't obeyed the Lord, listened to the Holy Spirit, and joined the worship team, rejoined the worship team. Because of that, I'm just so blessed that God would anoint me and use me in such a special way that he's been using me that I never thought possible. And I'm just feeling so blessed and so amazed and so thankful.
Here's a little taste of what worship has been like since I've been back in Perth. To put things into perspective, I have never seen a response like this in One Church Gordons Bay to date. God is doing something awesome.
I got so excited when Yvonne sent me those videos the other week because, you know, sometimes you got your journey and you know what you want to see, and that's God move, but you think, oh my goodness, how long is it going to take? Well, it actually just took me to come home for a holiday, and it happened, so that's exciting. My ministry at the aftercare. So we have an aftercare program. For those of you who don't know, it's in quite a poor community. So we started, or Yvonne actually started, an aftercare 7 years ago. So it involves feeding the children. It gives them a safe place to come after school where they can have help with their homework, where they can have a meal and they can have ministry and love if that's what they're needing. So I got the privilege of working there for last year as well. So my ministry there was twofold. So one was to love and minister and connect with the ladies who work there. And secondly, it was the children. So obviously to love and minister and connect with them as well. But because I have the teaching background, my aim was to provide or construct an educational program for them that would support them transitioning to school. So Temperance Town is a pretty rough community. The things that happen and the things that they do and the things that happen to them is just absolutely horrendous, but God just showed me his grace and his mercy doesn't discount them, doesn't disqualify them because of the things that have happened to them or the things that they themselves done, that the promises that we stand on, that he has a hope for us and a future for us, that he has a plan and that he made us, that because of Jesus we can be saved, that all these things are also for them. And so that was the journey, because they didn't feel worthy, they didn't have self-confidence, they didn't have any confidence in who they were, and I think that's because they didn't see themselves how God sees them. They see their sin, they see their brokenness, they see the pieces that have been ripped out, or the pieces that that is separating them. They saw their sin. And just that was the place where I was able to come and to minister to them from that place of God loves you just as much as he loves me, just as much as he loves the wealthy people or the poor people. So that's what I got to share with them, which was pretty amazing. So I'd like you to have a look at the next video, please.
During 2017, concerning our ladies at work at the aftercare. We had lots of trials and situations and circumstances that required prayer, counseling, and genuine friendship. I had the absolute pleasure of doing life with them and getting to know each of them on a personal level. We went beyond acquaintances and became real friends. I got to experience times of breakthrough with them, where we saw answered prayers and God's faithfulness to his word and promises to us. We also saw God provide in supernatural ways for housing, for food, for their children, and for the children that we all work with in the aftercare. I am so beyond proud of each and every one of them. Michelle, Helene, and Carmenita, they are all single mums and working so hard to give their children a better life than they had. They are learning about the Father's love, how to receive it, live in it, and give it to those around them. Shanique is the youngest teacher at the aftercare, and at 23 is an example to the young girls on how to stay strong in God and wait for a godly man to marry. She runs a creche, and her and I were working closely together to create an early childhood program to support the children transitioning to grade R, which is pre-primary, in 2018. She will continue this throughout this year. I thought I was going to the aftercare to love and to teach, but I think I was loved more and taught more about God, about life, and about myself than I ever imagined. All through the people that I get to see every day. Their gorgeous smiles, the endless laughter, and the hugs that greeted me every time I saw them changed my world forever. They have nothing, and yet will always share with you what they have. For my birthday, I received about 30 handmade cards and just as many 1 rand lollies or 50-cent packets of chips. For children who haven't had a very good picture of love, they know how to show it, and that can only be God. As I work largely with the creche children, I had the privilege of watching them grow and learn and become passionate about their learning. The best part of teaching is seeing the children have their light bulb moment, the moment where they suddenly understand and grasp what it is they've been learning, and the look on their face when they succeed. We need to change the culture and ideas and temperance sound about schooling and instill the value of education. I believe we've started that with the young children. We still have a way to go, and this year God has put it on my heart to support the older children and their learning, to support them through primary school and give them the best possible chance of finishing high school too. We also run youth with the aftercare on Friday afternoons. I take the older girls, Yvonne takes the older boys, and Chantelle, a lady from One Church Gordons Bay, takes the younger children. We incorporate fun and games with the Word of God to demonstrate that being a Christian is about relationship with God, through everything that he loves us, that we can trust him, but also that there is a standard of living to which as humans we could never live up to, and that's why we need him. That God's grace is all sufficient and that nothing can separate us from his amazing love because of what Jesus has done for us.
This leads me, okay, you can clap if you want, for Jesus, not for me. This leads me perfectly into the vision. Why am I going? Why would God send me? And why would you guys send me? Vision is more than just a plan for 2018. It's more than just the milestones I wish to achieve by March and then June. It's the reason for why I'm going. It's bigger than any plan. It's bigger than anything I could construct, but it's that desire that God has given me. I want to share with you something from 2012, 5 years ago, when I came back from South Africa for the first time. I received a word from God when I was making the little summary video of the trip, because that was my job. So I was making this summary video, and the song for the trip was Break Every Chain. So that's the context. God reminded me of this word twice in the past 3 weeks, and he said, Alyssa, this is your vision. This is why you're doing what you're doing. You've said yes, and this is why I'm sending you. It was an email that I wrote, well, what I'm reading is an email that I wrote to Pastor Candace And the reason why I want to read it is because these are baby Alyssa's words. Alyssa had just had this incredible, amazing, world-shaking experience when I encountered not only God's love for me, but the Father's heart for others in a way that I had never experienced before. So the way I want to share it is the way that I wrote it. So I can tell that it was a long time ago because my grammar was not so good. So this is what I wrote to Pastor Candace in 2012. When I was watching the highlight video, God showed me something that I know was not coincidence or my excellent filmmaking skills. The part in the clip where we first start to see our ministry in Temperance Town Primary School is when the lyrics in the song change to, "There's an army rising up to break every chain." What God said was so clear, I'm pretty sure he hit me in the face with it. He said, "Liz, I'm rising an army out of Temperance Town. They are falling into line, and they are going to be a mighty force to be reckoned with." It was amazing. A complete confirmation that God hasn't finished his work in Temperance Town, and nor is he abandoning it. He has such mighty plans to bring to march these people out of their sin and their bondage, and I believe as well that part of the reason he has chosen these guys, is because they have nothing. But God is changing things and shaking things and breaking things and rising up an army out of people who know what it's like to have nothing, to be abused, hungry, lost, and lonely. Because the world needs to know, for one, that God doesn't only save the wealthy. He doesn't only save the desirable people or the people who only have one problem. He takes everyone and everything. And I truly believe that God is going to use Temperance Town to not only minister to people with similar experiences, but they're going to have testimonies that reach people in all walks of life. They will testify to God's grace, truth, and life, and I'm so excited to see what God is going to do with it all. It's going to be, and already is, amazing. And I actually can't wait to see what God unravels and displays for his glory. He is too good, and he has chosen us, Pastor Candace. Woohoo! At that time, I just decided to go into teaching. I had no idea that in 5 years, what I said about I can't wait to see how God's going to reveal his glory, I can't wait to see God's plans unfold. I had no idea that that was going to be my story. I had no idea that my involvement was going to be more than 2 weeks a year. So I just think God is so amazing the way he sets out our plan and puts us on a course for life. And nothing's really special about me. I got a degree, and then I said yes. I said, God, I just want to go where you want to send me. I just want to go and do what it is that you're calling me to do. So that's why I'm going. That's why you're sending me. And I just thank God, and I thank each and every one of you that you would be on this journey with me. And I can't wait to read this in another 10 years' time and see what God has done then. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Alyssa. So if you're not clear on that, we are sending Alyssa back again for 2018. And we are looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in and through her again this year. And Alyssa, jy kan nou die taal praat, né? Yes, she learned Afrikaans while she was over there, and she can sort of get along with it. It was interesting listening to her accent change over the year. That was funny. So we'll see what God does with Alyssa in 2018. So we have a responsibility as the family of God. We don't just say, "Shoo, glad it's not me. See you later, Liz." No, we're actually a part of this, and we want to be a part of this. This is the answer to the prayers that we've been praying for many, many years. And you have an opportunity this morning to partner with Alyssa and with us in this mission and the other missions that we do. And I want to give you a little video clip to give you the idea of what we're asking for this year for our missions giving. Thanks.
You know, it's because of your faithfulness and consistency in giving to the mission of One Church Perth that we've seen so many lives blessed. You can make a difference. One person really can change somebody's life. How? Well, the price of one of these a day. Less than $20 a week, about $1,000 a year, will help us to continue to do all the good work that we're doing and to extend into new communities and new regions. That's why we're asking for partners. One person, $1,000, 1 year. Please pray about that and consider how you can be part of it. God bless you.
Okay. Well, that's what we're asking for, and we want you to pray about that, consider that. if you can't give $1,000, give whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, prompts you to give. And if you can, give more than $1,000, that'll be wonderful. We would be happy to receive that. We will be obviously funding Alyssa, paying for her costs. We will also continue to support Hope WA, continue to send me as another one of the missionaries to the nations that you're sending me to. I won't be able to give you all the information today about what that entails, but next week I'll be sharing again, so I might drop in a little bit more information. If you come back next week, you can hear about that. But before we take up our missions offering and our pledges, you can start getting ready for that if you want to. I'm going to take just a few minutes to try and give a context to where this fits in with our journey as the Church of One Church Perth. You know, you've been reading through the book of Exodus over the last little while. Yes, through your reading plan. How many of you are reading the book of Exodus? Okay. Well, I really see such a correlation with where we're at as a church and with where the people of God were as the people were going through the journey of Exodus. I want to draw your attention to this verse from chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. It says this, "Years passed, and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act." I think that is just such a powerful verse. God looked down, and he knew it was time to act. The background to the story is that Egypt was a land that the Israelites effectively had saved from the famine that struck the earth, and they'd been able to be positioned strategically to manage 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And without the Israelites' influence, without Joseph, who knows what would have happened to Egypt or what would have happened to the whole earth. And this land that had once received them and loved them, you know, Joseph was the prime minister, the Jewish people were well received, well, they prospered and they had grown, and then over time they forgot how good the Israelites were for Egypt, and they started to resent them and eventually ended up enslaving them. And then the government of the day, the Pharaoh, persecuted them and made their lives miserable. One of his sayings was, "More bricks, less straw." He asked them to make bricks to do the building works of Egypt, but he wanted them to do it with less resources. Just make your life more difficult. The people of God, of course, were calling out to God about their injustice and their pain during this time. And then God heard them and he remembered his promises to them, so he began to act. I can see the parallels in our current situation. I think the Christian heritage across the Western world is now under attack. I think the Western society, Western civilization has forgotten the good things that Christianity has brought to them. And I think that Western civilization has started instead to resent the Christian message, resent the Christian witness, resent the Christian conscience, and is now starting to actively resist and persecute those who are Christians, the people of God. I can see what it looks like when Egypt goes from being friendly to being very unfriendly. And I want to say, as a prophet of God, I speak to you today that times of persecution are coming to us as the people of God. It is not a time for us to be comfortable. It is a time for us to prepare and to be strategic and to be proactive. It's time for us to grow up, and to understand our place in history and where we fit in. And there was a generation who were now had gone through this process of the lovely honeymoon, had turned into a sour and bitter divorce, and they were under major persecution. There were generations at stake for the people of God. There was the promise of God of what God wanted to do with the Israelites. There were generations who had inherited that, and we are the inheritors of that. And if they hadn't responded well in that moment, who knows what history would have written? And who knows where we would be today? And I say the same for us today. If we are not aware of what's going on and we don't take the right steps and act proactively, who knows what the next generation and the generations to come are going to be living in and are going to be following and what they're going to be living like if we don't act proactively and act in a strategic way as the people of God today. Now is the time for us to sow and to go. It's the time to act. God looked down on them and he saw that it was time to act. I believe God is looking down on us today and he's seeing that today is the time to act. You might have been sitting on your hands for a little while wondering if, when, how, maybe, should I, coulda, woulda. I want to tell you those days are gone. Get off your hands. Today is the time to sow and go. It's the time to act. We all have an opportunity to do something towards moving God's plans and God's purposes in our nation and the nations of the earth. Did you know that? Well, I'm telling you today. The themes from Exodus, from the Exodus story, is a journey of transformation. It's taking the people of God from being slaves through being desert wanderers into being nation plunderers. This is a multi-generational story. God's plan went well beyond the people he was dealing with in that moment, and it was about the next generation and the generations to come. This is also the story of God's faithfulness, because God is a promise-keeping God, and each generation has a specific and unique part to play in the unfolding of God's plans and promises. In order to change the world, the people of God have to go through a world of change. How many of you have heard the phrase, a world of pain? Right now, he's in a world of pain. Anyone heard that? Okay, you watch wrestling, MMA, anything to that effect, and you know what I'm talking about. Right now, he's in a world of pain. Okay, well, we need to go through a world of change if we're going to change the world. We need to get the world out of us. We need to get Egypt out of us. We need to get the promise into us. We need to get the future into us. We need to get vision and clarity. We've got to go through a world of change. The things that we focus on have to align with the things that God is focused on if we are going to change the world. These people, the Israelites, had to endure the cost of change in order to reap the benefits of the promises of God. Did you know there's always a cost to change? We as the people of God have to endure a cost of change before we can reap the benefits. Alyssa had to endure the cost of change from going from being a qualified teacher. I don't know exactly what the phraseology is. Forgive me, Alyssa. But anyway, qualified early learning teacher or whatever that thing is. Got it right. Thank you. And she was ready for her pathway, her career, but then God took her through a world of change from this lovely Perth, you know, Aussie, she was a world traveler. I can remember watching her Instagram or Facebook account. It was Mexico and Melbourne and I don't know the other places. There's a lot of places that flashed up on the feed and I was like, oh, she's getting around. And then all of a sudden, the change happened and Alyssa was down in Gordon's Bay, South Africa, driving a combi, driving a VW people mover with a bunch of people in through the suburbs of Gordon's Bay and Temperance Town and becoming a South African Aussie. I don't know what they call you there, a Sozzy, okay, something to that effect. You know, learning the language, and is that a good one? You can all use that when you go back, you South Africans. You can say, I'm not an Aussie, I'm a Sozzy. Okay, lovely. And anyway, so, you know, she had to go through all the stuff that she had to go through, the pain and the discomfort of living with other people when she'd been independent, and then, you know, of finding fresh accommodation, and I'm getting the signal, can I borrow 5 more minutes of your time? Will that be okay? I'll pay it back one day, somehow. Impossible. Anyway, and, you know, she had to go through a world of change in order to become effective to change the world around her. And that is the life of a missionary. Did you know that you are a missionary? You don't have to go to South Africa to be a missionary. You don't have to go to the nations of the earth, although I wish you would, to come with me and to do the things God would do. I don't want you to go. I just want you to... That could sound horribly wrong. I wish you'd go to the nations of the earth. No, that's not what I mean. I wish you'd come with me to the nations of the earth. Anyway, we're all missionaries. We all have a zone, an area, a region, an assignment that God's given us. It's unique. It's special. It's crafted by God just for us. Your career, your family, the place where you study, etc. Those are your mission fields. You need to change your worldview if you're not a missionary because you don't align with God's view of how this world works and of how the kingdom of God works. And I'm sorry if it's really blunt, but that's just how it is. If you want to be a good Christian, you'll end up being a good missionary. That's how it works. And so every one of us has to go through a world of change in order to change the world around us. None of us is excluded from that. These people of God had to avoid the temptations of grumbling. That's unbelief and double-mindedness. Let me tell you, Alyssa had plenty of opportunity to grumble. Plenty. I would be on the phone with her or I'd visit her and I'd say, come on, unload. This is your opportunity. It's a safe place. Give it to me. Tell me and I'd ask her. And she wouldn't. She was a good girl. She'd hold it in and I'd ask her little probing questions. And I'd hear it eventually. I'd hear that, oh, this is the thing that's getting me down. I'm struggling with that. It's like, great. This is the place I can hear now. We can pray. We can resolve this. See, grumbling is not denying the facts. Grumbling is moving in unbelief and double-mindedness. Stating the facts, look, I'm struggling with this. This is difficult for me. I need to work through this. That's good. Grumbling about it, oh, it's not fair. I don't know why God has to make me do this. It's not fair. I wish I could have another life. I wish I could exchange what I've got for a better one. Why do they always have everything good happen for them and I only get what sucks? That is called grumbling and unbelief. Okay? Don't go there. These people had to avoid it in order to qualify for the blessings. Alyssa had to avoid that in order to see God moving in her ministry. They also had to avoid disobeying. Oh, that's so subtle and so easy to disobey God. All you have to do is to say, I'm busy. Not right now, Lord. Call me tomorrow. All you have to do is delay. Delay, delay. That's called disobedience in God's word. Delays and allowing the obstacles to stop you. Oh, well, I can't do it, you know. The door's closed. Oh, I can't do that. It's just not possible. Why are we a people of faith? Why does God say what's impossible with man is possible with God? Why does God say that we're more than overcomers? Why does God say that with his help we can run through a troop and leap over a wall? He's trying to get something across to us that this is a supernatural life. And if you look at the natural, you'll never do anything. You'll disobey him every day. You have to look through the circumstance into the promise and say, God, I'm going, come hell or high water, here I go. That's called obedience. These people had, thank you all five of you, God bless you, may that increase. These people had to avoid the temptation of rebellion. Rebellion is when you disconnect and agree with the enemy and his plan for your life. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? Do you know that the devil has a plan for your life? Which one are you following? Good. Keep following God's. Because the only way you're going to qualify for the blessings and the promises of God is if you follow God's plan comprehensively, fully. And rebellion is when you disconnect from God's plan, this is too hard, and you reconnect to the devil's plan. Well, I'm just going to go with the flow. Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to bother with that faith life and effort and prayer and all that. I'm just going to chillax over here and just waft along like a bad smell. That's rebellion. It's not shake your fist in the face of God kind of rebellion. It's the kind of rebellion that all parents see on children. When you say, do that, do that, do that, and they go, pardon? What? Were you talking? Whew. Something going on in my ears. I seem to hear a faint voice there somewhere. That's rebellion. You will disconnect from God's plan if you keep listening to the devil's plan for your life. So how does Exodus apply to us today in this final 3 minutes that I borrowed for your of your time? The great south land of the Holy Spirit and other prophecies concerning the move of God in and from Australia. That's ours. A heart for the next generation and for the lost. That's this church. An apostolic and prophetic center for the nations, sending missionaries. That's us as the family of God. That is what God has spoken to us, just like he spoke to the children of Israel. He said, I've got a promised land for you. I've got a land that I've marked out as yours and yours alone. I want you to go and take it. I want you to go and inhabit it. I want you to settle it and make it yours. The same thing he would say to us in Australia today. This is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Church, I want you to make it yours. Make it like I've called it. Church, there's going to be a great revival that starts in the southwest corner of Australia and spreads across the nation and into the nations of the earth. Church, make it yours. Church, there's going to be a season of revival. I'm saving the new wine for the last generation. I want to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, young, old, male, female, slave, free. I want them all to receive the fullness of the Spirit. Church, make it yours. What we've done is we've said, that must be some other church he's talking about. I really hope they get it. And really, that's not the place to live. We are God's answer for this generation and the generations to come. We've seen a picture of what happens when a church begins to pray and says, we'll be the church that agrees with that word, God. We'll agree with you. Yes, send your spirit. Make this the great Southland. Send us into every sphere of society to bring the change. God, raise us up to be a people of prayer who won't stop contending for you to come until we see it with our own eyes, and that our children will live in the fullness of the blessing. God, we'll keep doing that. We've done that for over a decade now. We have done that, and Alyssa is the answer to the prayers that we have prayed. And you know what I find with the children of God in Exodus? They prayed, they called out to God, Exodus 2:23. They groaned to God, oh, get us out of this place. And then God did. And while they were being taken out of the place, they started to do the same kind of prayer life again. Oh, get us out of this place. This is not your home. You're on the way to your home. Oh, but our home is full of giants and stuff. Oh, get us back to the other place. That was their prayer life. I've noticed that people don't always want the answers that God gives when we pray. It happens to me. When Alyssa came knocking on my door and said, God's called me to South Africa, I was like, yay, not. Yay, can you stay? No, I want Alyssa, I want you to go. I want you to go, but your parents want you to stay. I want to agree with your parents. Just teasing. I had that struggle of saying, well, the cost of sending Alyssa is so great. God, I have to trust you that you're going to not only fill her shoes here, but you're going to multiply that here. And I have to trust you, you're going to provide the finances for that too. When Candace came to me, Pastor Candace came to me some years ago and said, I believe God's called me to do a ministry, establish a house of prayer in WA, Hope WA. I was like, no. No, you're not going to go. And it's the very prayer I've been praying. There's an army rising up. In tune, normally. And, you know, I'm singing it. And yes, Lord, raise them up. Hopefully from other churches, not from us. And then God raises up Candace, and Candace says, I need to go. And I'm like, no, you can't go. And then God deals with me and says, she's not yours, she's mine. Send her. Okay. God bless you. And when Trish came and said, God's calling me into politics, I need to change career and change direction. It's like, yay. Nay. All right, go. And I'm learning to be okay with the way God answers my prayers. I'm fully expecting my sons to come at some point in their journey and say, God has called me to go somewhere crazy. And I'm going to have to deal with the cost of that and say, okay, I bless you in that, go. It's the same when God called me out of the role of being the senior pastor of this family and said, go, I want you to care for other churches too. And then raised up Chris and Matt to take the place. It's the same thing. God, I don't really want to do that. I want you to move, but don't move like that. I've noticed that's what God does. Because everything God does is designed for our growth, for our maturity, and to bring the best out of us. I've noticed that my choices are designed for my slackness, for my comfort, and to stay exactly as I am. Because, hey, he loves me just the way I am. Therefore, I must be okay. So don't get confused when God begins to move in your life and takes you through some very uncomfortable processes and some challenging situations, because that's how he answers. That's what happens when he acts. And the result is what Alyssa's seeing. Lives get changed. The result is what the children of Israel saw, a nation established, a nation under God. The result is what we will see as we continue to push into each of our mission fields. The result will be God glorified, the kingdom of God advanced, new ground taken. So next week, I'm going to go into more detail, and I'm going to preach it till it burns in you. So pray for me to be set on fire this week, and I'll do my best for you next week. But right now, we need to take up our offering. Are you ready to give? Are you ready to be part of the solution? Are you ready to be part of what God wants to do in our nation and give into what God is doing in the nations of the earth? Are you ready to do that? Good. I'll take that one yes, and I'll multiply it in my brain. Okay, guys, get ready to take it up. Have we got that song, Candace? Got that last video song thing? So while this song is playing, just let this be a time of you surrendering your all to Christ afresh and giving and saying, God, here we go. Use my finances. Use my prayers. I want to give into this today. Can I also ask you, is it ready, guys? Just let me know. Give me a signal when it's ready, okay? You can't find it. I'll hum it. Anyway, we also have a responsibility not just to pay, but also to pray. If you're here visiting us today, God bless you. Thank you for coming. We've loved having you. You'll notice we pray a lot. That's because the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. They accomplish much in the kingdom. So we want to pray. We'll keep praying. We want to pray for Alyssa. Please, take a photo of Alyssa, print it out, put it on your fridge. Maybe we'll make one. And we'll give it to you to put on your fridge. Pray for her every day. Bless her as she goes and does the work she's doing in South Africa. Okay? We're going to pay for her. We're going to pray for her. We also want to bless her. So if you can do something thoughtful, something kind over the course of this year, please do. I carry like almost illegal quantities of Tim Tams every time I visit South Africa. They should have me up as being an exporter. It's just bag loads full of Tim Tams. And the people in South Africa have grown to like me very much as a result. And I dole out Tim Tams wherever I go. You know, you can do stuff like that. You can be kind and bless Alyssa along the way. Think of ways you can do that. We can work with you on that. So we're going to pay, we're going to pray, and we're going to bless. You good with that? Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. I know it's late and I'm rushing. Lord, I pray now that our missions giving and our missions heart, your heart for the transformation of lives, the extension of your kingdom, of making us to be your people, I pray that today that would change us in the way we think about our finances, in the way we think about praying, in the way we think about being a blessing to people who have obeyed you and gone. It's really tough out there on the mission field, and we need a family supporting us, loving us, encouraging us. So I pray, Lord, this family would be really good at doing that. And I pray today you'd take our offerings and you would multiply them and they would equal souls who are saved and discipled and changed forever. Souls who become children of God and inherit the fullness of your kingdom. Lord, if my money can make a difference like that, I would gladly give it. So I pray that you would do that, Lord Jesus. And I pray that everyone who's giving, Lord, that as they sacrifice, they give up something for your name and for your kingdom, I pray you'd give back to them in your measure, which is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's just too much to contain. I ask that in your wonderful name, Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, my soon returning King. Amen. Amen. Let's take up the offerings. Put your pledges in the bag. If you are not sure about your pledge, put your name on it, and Sunel will call you and follow you up. You can get a tax deduction by giving to this. You can get a tax deduction, and we would like you to pay less tax and give more to the kingdom. That's our goal. So if you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. Okay. Well, the song I had is not really there, so it is there. It is. It's coming. So I'm going to release you while the song's playing. Father, I pray your blessing over the church. I pray that we become the people of God who would be missionaries on this earth in accordance with your will, your plan for our lives. Bless them as they go. Bless them in their homes. Bless them in their work. Bless them in their place of study. Lord, bless them in every field, I pray. And bring them back again next week, Lord Jesus, so that we can be together and worship you again. Amen.